Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your post-Thanksgiving update. Taking a look at the markets from last week. Hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States. And Canadians, I know you're a month out, but we welcome you back to the show as well. So let's take a quick snapshot of the precious metals markets, what we've missed since Thanksgiving last week. Not too much, although a couple of things we'll want to point out here. Let's start off with gold, up about $12. Since last Thursday. That's about 0.5% on the gold price, sitting relatively stagnant right now, but technically up for the week, so we won't complain. Silver is sort of a standout here. Silver's up about $1.20 from last week, so that's a 4% move over the week. Silver continuing to do what gold does, just a little bit more volatile. However, that still puts our gold-silver ratio only at about 84.5. So even though silver made up a little ground on gold here in the last week, still sitting at a pretty weak position and a pretty high gold-silver ratio, so still some fair opportunity there as well. Moving over to the other white metals, platinum up about $17, that's a little under 2%, and palladium about half that, up $8, that's just under 1% move up. And quick glance at most of your market indices. S&P right here, as an example, up 81 points, 1.3%. And most of your market indices, the Dow, at least the Dow Industrials, the S&P, the NASDAQ, all sitting at new strong highs leading into the holiday season. Not too surprising there. So congratulations to most of the stock market for looking pretty good. The downside to that, Rob, over here, is this. The transport's down 470 points, 2.5%.
Right.
So I'm not entirely sure what they're selling, but apparently they're not shipping it to people, whatever it is. So something's getting sold, but it ain't getting moved. Or maybe we're just looking at some speculative run into the end of the year, kind of prepping for those Wall Street end of year bonuses.
Bonus babies.
Yeah, really push those markets up in December, secure that $10 million bonus.
Well, there is a fly in the ointment, though, Miles, because some of their analysis is based on statistics coming from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Fed, et cetera. And we keep seeing numbers revised downward or against what they want people to see. So everybody knows the books have been cooked under this last administration. And I don't know what that's going to lead into once we have a truth reveal at the beginning of the new year with the new administration. Hey, wait a second. The numbers you've been relying upon, and they already know this. I mean, they know that the numbers are phony. We see that month after month every time they revise. So I don't know if that's going to affect the stock market. There's just so much money out there. What we have not seen, though, is gold. All ships rise, and you know, gold's kind of stuck. We didn't end last month at a new higher high for gold like we have for so many months before. Let's talk about gold for a minute. What do you see coming?
Yeah, because I think gold is certainly going to be the tugboat pulling the rest of the precious metals market with
exactly.
It. So it's definitely the right place to start and gives us kind of a general idea where we could see the markets go. So getting back to our show a couple months ago when Tory put the numbers together for just short, medium, long-term reaction and response in the precious metals market to elections and the election cycle. And very helpful, and it's good to see that gold is doing exactly what you would expect it to do. You know, Trump gets elected in 2016, gold drops 13%, but 6 months later, it caught right back up with its previous trend to begin with. Trump gets elected again here in 2024. Now, we haven't had a 13% drop, but we did get a 9% drop in the gold price. You know, we are going from just shy of 2,800, and we did get all the way down to about 2,540, which we did hit a couple weeks ago, back on Thursday the 14th. And that's actually a nice, healthy 50% retracement, at least in the short term. You know, if you just count this breakout move that started back in June, down around 2,300 to 2,800, that was almost to the penny. a really nice 50% retracement and a little bit of a bounce since then. So we're seeing some pretty healthy movement in gold, very typical, A, in an election cycle, B, coming off an all-time price high with a little bit of a correction. Mm-hmm. So gold, at least in the short term, is reacting exactly the way you'd want it to. As we move further, could we see a little bit more down or not?
It's possible. I mean, you know, you might have another 5-7% move downward, especially if we have a sell-off in the stock market, then I definitely think you'll see that. I don't know that we are going to have a sell-off in the stock market. It is tremendously overvalued by every indice, but that's not going to stop Wall Street from bringing out the pom-poms. My big concern is one of time, and you can look at the charts, but we're also in a period of time historically where this pullback as a Republican administration takes over only lasts a few months, like you said a minute ago. We have maybe 6 weeks, 3 weeks, 12 weeks before gold starts to move back up again, because it is. I mean, they're not going to fix it immediately. We'll have a honeymoon period, but then that honeymoon period generally is over with by spring. I think gold will be testing 3,000 easily by the spring.
Sure. So let's do paint by numbers charting just for fun. I just keep it real simple because I learned simple charting 20 years ago and it just always works. So we'll just keep doing that. But a little paint by numbers charting, like what do I think the perfect gold chart would look like over the next couple of weeks that's going to line up with those political expectations and the massive fistfight that the returning President Trump is going to have as he gets into office. So coming off that 50% retracement in the short term, you know, the 618 just below it is a real pretty number for a couple reasons. A, I love 618 retracements because we love Fibonacci over here. And we like when that stuff lines up nicely. B, that was the last high we actually put in. So that's going to put us at around 2485. And that was actually the last high we put in during the spring to summer ceiling. You know, remember when gold was trading between about like 2300 and 2450-ish?
I do.
We put in that one last high in July at around 2485. And that really signaled the breakout move, told us that gold was going to be taking a couple $100 step up. So that's lining up right there at that 618. And then if you stretch this chart back all the way to February, more the beginning of the year, and you look at the whole market move starting up, starting back in February, well, that's your more longer term trade range in this like bull market leg that we've had. Well, that's your longer term 382 Fib, all stacked right on top of each other. So you've got a longer term Fibonacci correction level, a shorter term Fibonacci correction level. You've got a phenomenal price ceiling that had been set at that price, right? Just under 2,500, like 2,485. And one of our favorites, the long-term moving average isn't too far down below that. You know, the long-term 200-day moving average is like 2440 right now. So it's very reasonable to see, let's say over the next couple of weeks, we get one more little stair step down to these next Fib levels. Well, that's going to coincide with your longer-term 200-day moving average probably landing right there as well.
We'll be right there, yeah.
And my charting argument has always been, I don't want one thing to happen. I want two or three or four or five or six things all happening. When I see things converging at a certain price, I know that people who trade moving averages are going to buy. I know people who trade Fibs are going to buy. I know people who trade price action are going to buy. Mm-hmm. So when I know there are different trading camps, different camps of people who look at markets all making a decision at the same time, that's just a lot of momentum.
But it's iffy. We don't know that it's going to happen.
True. Yeah, that's the other scary part of this is we could wake up at the end of the year and gold's 2,900.
Well, I mean, you saw gold jump based on Biden approving the use of long-range missiles for Ukraine.
Yep.
So anything like that could happen. We just don't know anymore. But I think given the world situation, given the U.S. financial situation, it definitely makes sense for people, if they're sitting with cash on the sideline, begin dollar cost averaging. Take 10% for now, because I do tend to think gold's going to soften a little bit. But start with 10%, and every week, add a little bit more to it. I mean, you and I both buy a little bit of gold every couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't even worry about the price. I don't even care. I'm just stacking ounces as best I can.
Yeah, when you consistently buy every 2 weeks, you can't care about the price because you forget to look it up occasionally. Like, it's great when you can just automate the process have.
Yeah.
Which is through our vaulted program. Yeah, despite the fact that we're coming into Wall Street bonus season, I know you brought up how well the stock market is doing, and page one headlines are always a month later, page 17 revisions. And the revisions are always down, right?
Right.
So we know that's coming as well.
At least under this last administration. Yeah.
But somehow those revisions always seem to come out just a day or two after those bonus checks were handed out over at Vanguard. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see things sort of cool off once we get around the inauguration time. Yeah. And man, I'm telling you, love him or hate him, Trump's got a fist fight ahead of him.
He does.
You know, there's some battles, there's some wars he's planning on waging, not just politically, but also economically and monetarily.
Well, and he's telegraphing his punches, Miles. He's telling them what he's planning on doing.
Sure.
It's not like he's coming out of left field. He's being right up front.
Yeah. And he's already going after guys. I've already seen Jay Powell up on stage going, the office of the president has no say over what we do with interest rates, and we don't care what he wants. We're going to do what we think is best. It's like, well, that's a little bit different than, I think the Democrats are in trouble. Let's drop interest rates 50 basis points
and right see
if we can
boost
the market. But
yeah,
so he's got a fight with Powell because let's be honest, you know, again, love him or hate him. But do you know what the difference between a Republican and a Democrat is, right, Rob?
Not very much in the last few decades.
So one of them spends way too much money on things you don't like, and the other one spends way too much money on things you do like. But both of them spend too much money. So, of course, Trump is already saying we need to lower interest rates. We need to get money back in the hands of people, yada, yada. Yeah, because, you know, things run a little bit smoother when inflation is your biggest short-term concern, because inflation is a long-term problem. So if you can ignore the long-term problem and find a short-term solution, you know, it does provide a little bit of political leverage for anybody in office at the time. So of course he wants interest rates to go down. We'll see if Powell wants to play ball.
Well, he's already said a few weeks ago that he sees no indication to be in a hurry to lower interest rates.
Yeah, you know? Except for right before the election.
Yeah, except for that. But we're not political.
No, sir. Not a bit. It's actually pretty easy to not be political. You just can't really stand the way either of them spend money. So there
well,
you go.
We can only hope that we can get something under control. But if you lay off 70% of the federal workforce, you dramatically cut into your gross domestic product. And that's a huge deal. So be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if Elon Musk is going to come in and go full nuclear Twitter on the federal government or not, but if he follows suit and we have Government X coming up, yeah, you're looking at a 30% workforce, which, you know, it's funny because we've been saying for years, Rob, that really, honestly, if you want to get this problem under control, you have to do three things.
You have to cut your budget.
You have to cut your budget. You have to probably raise taxes.
Yep.
And you definitely have to cut the
deficit.
Central bank balance sheet.
Oh, well, that's true. And I haven't looked at the balance sheet in a while. I have been remiss. I do think that they have been clearing the way to add to it if we do get a drop in the markets.
Agreed. Because it's a great short-term tool.
Great short-term
tool. You know,
it's
an overflow pond for when it rains too hard.
Right.
It's just the problem is the pond is about 9 times over full right now. So they took it down to 8.5 times over full and they think it's empty.
But yet you have to give credit to Powell. That's one thing that he has done.
Yeah, that's one thing he has done. It's just the problem is the government didn't play ball with him under Biden, right? They didn't decrease spending and they didn't increase their own income. And one of the best ways to decrease spending is to cut the bloat. So we'll see how the Ramaswamy and Elon Musk team ends up working out with that.
It's our biggest hope. That's what I told my boys over Thanksgiving. They're grown men. I'm like, they have their own thoughts politically. I'm like, the best thing you have to hope for is that Musk and Ramaswamy can do what they say they're going to do. Your future hinges on them being able to do that.
And we need the other two participants to play ball as well.
Yeah.
So we lower the spending, we lower the Fed balance sheet, and Oh man, I hate saying this last one, but you got to raise taxes. You got to raise capital and income somehow.
Somehow.
And I really hope it's not personal taxes, but it's going to be what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I just got nixed by most of our listeners because I just said, man, we might need to raise taxes. I think I'm done, Rob. This might have been my last show.
Yeah, we just lost half our listeners.
Probably.
But let's face it, we live in the greatest society that the world has ever known throughout history. We have the greatest prosperity. There's so much that we have to be thankful for, but we've got to fix the problem.
And you've got to protect yourself while it's getting fixed.
Yeah.
You know,
amen to
that. You still got to put your hard hat on. Like, it's time to go to work, guys.
Yeah.
But you still got to put your hard hat on. You're still in a construction zone, and I still want my hard hat made out of gold bars.
Yeah.
Because I don't see how this lands softly. I don't think anybody does.
No, everybody's going to get wet.
Yeah.
We're all going to get wet. But, you know, you just don't sharpen a knife on a stick of butter. We need to work hard to protect this society. It just is what it is.
Yeah. So telling you, man, we get that $100 pullback in gold. I mean, I'm buying whether we do or not, right?
Right. But yeah.
Because I'm picking up every 2 weeks. But you see $2,500 gold in the next couple of weeks. I mean, the charts give us the number. The story gives us the number. The politics gives us the number. We're moving into spring, which traditionally is very strong for gold and tends to be a pretty political, economic, geopolitical heat up session.
Right. Right.
You know, March, April, May, I don't know why, but it seems like every year, March, April, May, something happens. Something happens in Israel. Something happens in Eastern Europe. Something happens in China. Something always happens in the spring that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the year. And these last handful of years, it hasn't been a good thing.
No, and gold has had banner records in spring times.
Sure.
It used to be the fall with the Indian wedding season, etc., but that's shifted over to spring market. The spring market is going to be strong this year.
Yeah. And Tori showed us a couple months ago, best time to buy gold is always 2 to 4 weeks after a Republican wins office in the U.S.
Exactly.
So let's not wait until the market tells you you need to play catch up. Consider doing something when you got the time to do it.
And that's a key point because Americans so many times feel like, you know, whenever they're ready, there's going to be plenty of things that they want to buy. But that hasn't been the case in the gold market. We've seen several times over the last 20 years where product was literally unavailable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could find something, it may be not what you want. So while you have a chance to buy, premiums are very low right now across the board in the older market, you know, the pre-1933 gold and silver market. I've never seen premiums continue to be this low for this long. That's a great opportunity for people.
Yeah, because you're right. There have been days, multiple days over the last 10 years where a company like ours calls up the mint to buy our regular ration of Gold Eagles. And we say, hey, can we get a couple boxes of Gold Eagles? And they go, sure, let me know if you find some. And it's that it does happen. It's amazing how you increase gold buying by 5 or 10% in the U.S. and it's just gone.
Gone.
Just gone overnight.
Yeah.
Well, it's available. It's just Silver Eagles at 40% over melt value.
We've seen that too. And have we taken advantage of that?
Yeah. So I don't know. We're not wanting to be the sales pitch show, but we are moving into the end of the year. It's coming off one of the most banner years we've seen in a very long time. And we're not even in the throes of the bull market yet. You know, we're just getting started. And we've already had such a phenomenal push this year. We've yet to see the crack, whether it's the real estate market, the bond market, or the exorbitantly overvalued stock market with PE ratios across the board over 40, which is insane.
Insane.
We haven't even seen those things crack yet. So any opportunity that you can get your hands on a little bit more of something of real value, you know, dirt and the stuff that comes out of it.
And while you can sit down and talk with your advisor in a relaxed atmosphere, we're not rushed, we're not panicked, you know, we're not chasing a market. We can sit back and look at things and make some plans. What direction do you want to go? What allocation between gold, silver, platinum, palladium are you thinking percentage-wise? What about your IRAs? All these things we can do And we're not being rushed. We're not sitting there with three calls on hold. We can move through and come up with a good plan and move forward. This is the time to do that. If you wait until spring, be willing to be put on hold or called back within an hour or two with product that we thought we had that was sold before we got back to you.
With product we had in December.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So I'm right there with you, Rob. Obviously, we've been doing the best we can to reach out to all of our clients over the last couple of months, just a little end of year review. If you haven't sat down with your advisor at McIlvany Precious Metals to talk through your portfolio in 6 months, it's around about time. You know, mm-hmm. even if nothing comes of it, just sitting down and reiterating what's our plan going forward. Doing that a couple times a year is always the best thing to do. It keeps everybody on the same page. It keeps us working for you the way you need us to. And when those events happen down the road where we need to get in touch and do something, it shortens those conversations as well. You already know what the plan is. So I'd highly encourage anybody, if you haven't talked to your advisor here at McIlvany Precious Metals recently, give us a call. You know, we're working through the lists as fast as we can, but go ahead and give us a buzz. We definitely want to talk with you. And if you've never talked to us before, why not? You know, conversations are free. You'd be surprised how much you can accomplish just sitting down and having a meaningful one-on-one conversation with somebody on any topic. So why not do it with your precious metals portfolio as well?
And one thing I would do too, Miles, is, you know, in terms of goals, I think an ounce goal is really important. How many ounces do you feel like you need to have set aside when you come to retirement? And what does that look like? Is it a 10-year or a 20-year gold annuity? That's what I call it. So if you need 2 ounces of gold to live on today per month, what does that look like when you're ready to retire? How many ounces do you need to have for a 10 or 20-year period set aside? Because gold will continue to purchase in 10 or 5 years or 15 or 20 years what it buys today. So let's come up with an ounce goal. Let's start stacking.
I like it. So give us a call to have that conversation. We can be reached at 1-800-525-9556. Set up a time to chat with your personal advisor, and we'll come up with your goals for your precious metals position going into the future. Thanks again for joining us this week. If you liked what you heard, hit the YouTube buttons. We always appreciate it. But better yet, why not head on over to our website at McIlvany.com. We can also be found on, I'm going to say it, Rob, we can be found on X. I finally give up. That's not true. Next week, I'll probably say Twitter. You can find us on X at ICA Gold, and we are also on Facebook at McIlvany Financial. Thanks again for joining us this week. God bless you and your family in this holiday season. We'll be around for the next couple weeks, wrapping up the year with you, probably taking Christmas off and then hitting the ground running next year. So we look forward to seeing you next week. And do give us a call. We'll discuss your personal portfolio with you.